It's time to get started, so we'll start off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for just being the great God that you are, the awesome God that you are. We praise you for that. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace towards us. We thank you for making this day. We thank you for allowing us to be here, giving us all the breath of life, and just for just as we celebrated here, for your coming to be our Savior, the Savior of the world. And we thank you for allowing that to happen and take place. We know we'd be doomed to hell if that were to happen. And we just praise and thank you that you they're now making that home in heaven for us. And we thank you, Father, for that. We thank you, Father, for just all things that you do for us. We ask you now, Lord, that you would be with us here this day, that you would just help us with the lesson and for the bringing forth of it, and that you would just enlighten us, that your Spirit would just take full control, that he would lead and guide and direct us and just be with us this day. We praise you for that. We thank you for everything that's going to be going on here today, Father, and we just ask that you could be uplifted through it, and that we could give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we've been going over about you being in charge of your children and things like that there, and I was showing you just some different aspects of how that you can, one of the things that we went over there was for teaching them something that's very important was honoring the father and the mother, and that they have to do that. And that it's something that that you get across to them, that, you know, for honoring the father and the mother, and they're going to learn to honor God also through that whole situation, you know. So we're trying to show them that different authority and things like that there. Now, the next thing here is that we're just going to go over just a little bit here is parenting. If you had to define parenting, how would you define it? I'll get you thinking right away here in the morning. I told you missed it last week. I told a story about a pastor that was trying to help with cats. Now he has it on his mind. So, how would you define parenting? Anybody?
Everything you got to do to raise kids.
Everything, huh? Anybody else? How would you define it? Yes, you have to turn it over to the Lord, that's for sure.
Like the schoolmaster. Or it's just like God, just like God was the schoolmaster with their laws for our benefit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's an act of discipleship. In all manners.
Anybody else? What do you think? How would you define parenting? Good answer so far. Got you thinking, anyhow. You're called as an agent of God, you know, and you got a task as a parent. Our culture today, this wonderful culture that we live in, reduces parenting, and it reduces it to providing care. Now, don't get me wrong; that's something, you know, that's part of parenting, you know, providing care. But it's not the important thing. They think, you know, that the child has to have food, which they do. The child has to have clothing, which they do. They have to have a bed, a roof over their head, and some quality time. But, you know, parenting is more than that. You know, there's more important things, you know, to that. It's a weak view of what God's called you to do if you just think that you're to provide care for them. You know, and this culture today, it's just a mess on some of the things that they think of what parenting is. You know, the funny part about it is, you know, I try to go through the computer just sometimes just for curiosity's sake to see some of these things. And it's funny about just like this parenting thing here. Some of them say, there was some in there that said, I didn't even read them. I wouldn't even give them the consent to read them or anything like that there. But some of them say that, you know, parenting has nothing to do with the Bible or the Word of God. Why would I want to read something like that? They don't even know what they're talking about when they say that, you know. But God, you know, he gives us, you know, he gives us things in his word, you know, and how we're supposed to do that. You're to shepherd your child in God's behalf, you know, and shepherd, you know, shepherd is training. And training and shepherding is going on, you know, with your child all the time. We've gone over it so many times, and it's just one of them things. Deuteronomy 6:6-7. And he says, you know, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest down in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. We are to train them, be constantly training them. In other words, what he's saying there, you're constantly training them all the time. All the time, you know. Training them in God's word. Training them, you know, to, as we just had going over, to respect the parents, to respect, and to respect God, you know. Turn everything over to God. If you shepherd your children, you must have an intimacy relationship with them, you know. You've got to talk to them. You've got to sit down, you know, with them. You know, you've got to explain things to them. You have to train them in different aspects of life, you know. You just can't expect them to learn it. You know, you can't expect them. You've got to sit down. You've got to talk to them. You have to help them to understand the different things. You, as a parent, should know how that child ticks. You know, how do they tick? You know. What gets that child? How does that? What gets that child to tick? I was thinking about this a little bit, Ben. How does Joy tick?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. When you said that, she ticks on her just next impulse, whatever she desires. That's how she ticks. Is what the Joy's car. And whatever she can get a hold of that will bring her pleasure or her enjoyment, and she doesn't get it, she'll throw a fit. You say, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm trying to figure we're working through that. We know there's a problem.
Oh, I'm not saying that there's a problem. I could, you know, she's back here with us in junior church, and she has a lot of energy.
Yeah.
No, she does. And there's children like that that have lots of energy, you know. And don't get me wrong. I mean, now they're going through Sunday school, you know. Your children are going through Sunday school. They're sitting there, you know, the teacher wants them to listen and stuff. But man, oh man, you can't expect them to sit there that whole time, you know. And the energy comes out of them, you know. Between Sunday school and church, that energy starts to come out in them, you know. And then when they get back here to junior church, you know, we try to let some of that energy get out of them a little bit, you know, so that they can sit and listen to what you have for them to say. Nate and Sarah, what makes Chloe tick?
The same thing you said about Joy. It is. It's that I want to be fill my flesh right now.
Really? Now, see, she doesn't that way. I don't take it that way with her, you know. She's very calm back there, you know. She really listens. She seems to, you know, she seems to be maturing all the time. And this is what happens, though. You know, Joy is going to do the same thing. You know, you're going to see this process as they get older. You can see that in them. You know, lots of kids I've seen that in them already. You know, with junior church. Really? Uh-huh. See, what I'm trying to point out here is, see, you know your kids. You know how they tick. What makes Elias tick? He seems to be a follower, you know, like maybe of his brothers and stuff. He wants to, you know, I think he wants to be, you know, he wants to be big, you know. You know, older, you know, like my brothers, you know,
he wants
some
to be eight
of,
tomorrow.
Huh?
He wants to be eight tomorrow,
yeah, yeah. So this is what I'm saying, you know what how your children tick, You know, that's just it. You know this. You know that's that relationship that you have with them. You see, if you wouldn't have that relationship, none of you could answer any of them questions. You know, how does this child do? What does this child do this? How does this child do that? You know, and stuff. You wouldn't know that. And believe it or not, there's people out here today that don't know that. They do not know how their children take or what goes on with them at whatsoever. They just, oh, just go ahead. Go out there and play. Just go do your thing, you know. I'm going to do my thing. You just go do your thing, and that's it.
But they have the ability.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Will is the shaping influence here, and then you got the little ones going, and it's like, man, it's terrible. I wouldn't sit in the house and sit in a chair and think about nothing, and I know it's wrong. So that's part of my problem.
Well, you know, and you know, there's a lot of parents who do, but you know, there's times where you do have to just let them get out, you know, and do their thing too, you know, go outside and play, goof off and things like that, because you can't be constantly having them in the house doing chores, doing this, doing that, you know. They're a child. They have to do the different aspects of life also, you know. So it doesn't hurt them to go out and do that. But to do it all the time? No. Wait a second.
You have 7 kids together at one time, all different ages.
Yeah.
You have to at least garner the energy in the right direction, or it's total chaos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what is the balance, Corb?
I don't know.
But the thing is, though, too, what I'm thinking here is, you know, you're still trying to teach and train and shepherd as you're doing that, even though it takes a 3-hour process to get them back into it. But Okay. All right. Now you've given me something here. Okay. Now let me ask you a question, men, wives. When you first got married, how long did it take you to get your husbands to put their coats, hang their coats up, put their clothes in the dirty clothes hamper?
Now you're meddling.
Huh? You see, where did that come from? And now you expect your kids, boom, you better do it. And you didn't do it yourself at first. I mean, man, you know your wives have hollered and screamed at you for stuff, you know. I went through it when I was younger, when we first got married and stuff, you know. I did dumb things too, you know, just like everybody does, you know. I was just like you. You're busy. You don't think about it. You got something on your mind. Man, I know what it's like. You got something on your mind. Just like you're saying there, Corp. You got something on your mind. You want it done. You want to do it. You don't want nobody to bother you. You just want to get it done, don't you? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then, you know, to train your children, just the opposite here of what you're saying, you know, it's a tough situation. So it is. Definitely tough situation. So, you know, you still, like I say, you know how your children tick and what it takes, you know, to get them motivated, to get them going, you know, and the different aspects of it. If you direct your children in the ways of the Lord, as what he told Abraham in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, he says, I know that you will teach them, you know. God knows that you're trying, you're going to teach them, you know, the right things. But you know, you have to know it. You have to do it. And this is a task that he's given us. You know, it's more. You see what I'm saying? It's more than just food and clothing and shelter and things like that. It's more than that. You know, you're a director, and directors are in charge. You're in charge. You see, that's what we're talking about. You know, you being in charge. So, we see some of these. Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
One thing to keep in mind is that you guys thought about joining the program. You described our sending. That's what's there. And some kids, as well as adults, hide it better. But it's still there. And it's got to be dealt with. But I want to give you parents encouragement, because and I know some of you get pretty discouraged too. But we want perfection.
Yeah.
But we're not perfect. And so kind of keep that in mind with a balance there. I mean, we're doing the best that we can and mess up. And, you know, the verse I think of is a lot is cast in the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. I think that's got some application raising kids too. As parents, we mess up, we do the best we can, and then we try to fix the mistakes that we've made and so forth, especially with the next ones come along. But in the end, God, don't forget that God is in the mix. And if you're at least moving in the right direction, there's some things that you're doing now that may take 10, 15, 20 years to come to fruition. But I think you're going to see the fruits of the labor. And you're still going to find fault. My oldest is about 34. And I think, oh boy, that was my fault. That's there. But you just, overall, oftentimes, the result is you train the child the way they're going, and when they're old, they will not recover from it. So just do the best you can now,
mm-hmm.
and understand it's not going to be perfect because you're not perfect.
Yeah, it's true. And just as he was talking there, you know, I was thinking, you know, for some reason, I don't know why, it seems as like I don't know how you guys were, but we were, you know, we were tough on our first one, you know. We wanted, you know, but then I took notice that we kind of got a little lax with the second one, and then as the third one come along, we got a little lax, you know. And I'm talking about, you know, like memorizing scripture and things like that. Chad, he used to lay in bed, you know, and we would make him go over every night, you know, scripture that we were, you know, teaching him. And he could just bam, 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 you know, knock it off to you right like that. Nathan, you know, he could do it. But Rebecca, you know, it was just kind of, you could tell it was just getting, we were getting more lax and lax with him, you know, and stuff like that. But today, you know, it's just like him today. And I'm not bragging on him or anything, but he stands up here and leads the singing. But you say a song to him, he'll tell you what the number is. You know, that memorization really helped him, I think, you know, in different aspects of life. When he's out here working, you know, I took notice that, you know, And Nathan is really a good one too, you know. Buddy, you can see that they're really thinking, and they can think of a better way than a lot of times that these guys want. They want to do stuff, you know. It's a lot simpler, and it's a lot better way, you know, to do some of the things that they do. So, you know, like the pastor said, don't give up. Just keep at it. You keep at it. Like we keep saying, it's consistency, consistency, consistency. You don't think you're getting any place, but you're getting someplace. You'll get there. You'll get there. And it's tough, you know. It's tough. So, parenting. So that's parenting, you know, kind of defined there a little bit, just what parenting is, just what we said. But as you're parenting, do you think that humility might come into this task too? What do you think about that? You know, humility is something, you know, that we all need. And you know, there's times where, you know, and just like we were talking here, we men, you know, we have something on our minds. We want it done, you know, and we're trying to do something ourselves. And then all of a sudden, you know, the child comes along. Did you do it? You know, no. You know, are you goofing off on what? You know, and sometimes we kind of fly off the handle to them, but we need to be, sometimes we have to humble ourselves and come back to them and say, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I messed up, you know. I did a sinful act here too. Just like you have sinned, I have sinned too, and I did a sinful act here, and you have to come back to them. Let's read a couple verses here. Pastor, Matthew 18, verse 4, and Corby, Matthew 23, verse 12. Let's see. Amy, would you go to James 4, 6, and 10? And Chad, 1 Peter 5, 5, and 6. And I got a couple here that I'm going to read too while you guys are turning there. The first one is 2 Chronicles 7, 14. It says, and you know that verse. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, God wants us to humble ourselves. So if he wants us to humble ourselves, don't you think that you need to humble yourself, you know, in front of your children to show them? And you're teaching them humility when you're doing that, you know. That way that sometimes, you know, when they do wrong, they can come and say, Mom, Dad, you know, I'm sorry. I was wrong. For what, you know, for not doing what you told me to do or something like that there. You're teaching them things. And that's what he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Proverbs, let me see, what else do I have here? Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in the spirit. There's the key. Pride. We men have more pride than, you know, a lot of women do. But, you know, that pride, you know, we need to humble ourselves, put that pride away, get that behind us, you know, and just, you know, humble yourself. Humble yourself in front of your children and things like that there. Humble yourselves in front of the men that you work with and things like that, you know. Instead of that pride, you know, I can do something better than you can and all this and that stuff, you know. Baloney. Always remember, somebody's out here that can do something better than what you can. So put your pride away and just humble yourself. You know, just humble yourself, you know. Matthew 18:4.
Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest.
See what Jesus said there? Humble yourself as a little child. Matthew 23:12.
And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted.
There you go. James 4, 6 and 10.
Verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
1 Peter 5, 5 and 6.
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
See, there's lots of verses there in the Bible that tells us, you know, that we're to humble ourselves. You know. And there's no reason why you can't humble yourself in front of your child. Whenever you do something stupid yourself, then humble yourself and just admit it and, you know, ask forgiveness. There's nothing the matter with that whatsoever. Listen, you're like an ambassador. And an ambassador, he's sent to a country, and he's to function, he's to be doing his thing, you know, in that country that he represents our country, and he's telling them, listen, this is what we would like you to do. This is what we want you to do, you know. And he's doing that responsibility. It's a responsibility he has for our country as he's going to another country, you know, to do the different aspects of life there for what our country would like for them to do. And you're the same way. You're a parent, you know. You parent. You got to be aware of that you're God's representative, and you represent Him. And I mean, you represent it to your children. You are that representative. And you've got to, you know, bring forth God's word to your children, you know. And that should just be something sober and humbling to you, you know, by doing that, you know, bringing God's word to them. And there's times, like I say, when you need to ask your child to forgive, you know, because you may get angry about something or, you know, you may do some kind of a sinful response, you know, and you've got to tell them that you're sorry, you know. Maybe it's with something with discipline, you know, and things like that. When you put your wrath on your child, your discipline isn't working whatsoever. Nothing's working with discipline when you bring your wrath upon your child. You might as well forget it. You didn't teach them nothing whatsoever because you got upset, you know, and you didn't bring it in the right way. So you need to be God's representative to bring your reproofs of life to your son and your daughter, you know. You have to do these things. God is displeased with us when rebellion against his ordained authority is dismissed for our sin and not following what the Bible says for us to do in discipling them. So we need humility. We need to be humble. We need to be humble. It's a task that we have, and he wants us to do it, you know. We need to be humble. Humble yourselves. Did you ever have to humble yourself before your kids? You have to, you know. You have to, you know. You blow it, you know. I blowed it. Sorry, I blowed it. You know, that's the way it is. So humility is another task that we have, you know, that we need to bring. Now, the next one here is, what do you think about anger? Is anger to be in this here? In taking care of your kids, you know, how do I say that? Making them fear you, you know, and know that this is the way I am. I'm a drill sergeant. This is the way it's got to be. And if not, I'm getting mad. You think that should be in place for teaching children? What do you think about anger in teaching children? Getting mad, getting upset. Ron.
Let them know that you're angry because of what they did or didn't do or whatever the situation was. But it doesn't mean that you should discipline them in anger. But if they know you get angry, and you put that together with respect, I don't know how to say what I'm thinking here. But your anger can actually be turned around in them. Have more respect for you because they understand through your anger what you want and what they didn't do or did do wrong, whatever. If you don't ever get angry about anything and you don't ever do anything to let the child know what's right or what's wrong as far as how you really personally feel, there's no way they're going to know.
Do you really, though, want your children to fear you?
I said, through your anger, they would come to respect you because they understand what you like and what you don't like and what their behavior is.
Pastor.
You know, it's kind of like taught that we should never. punish in anger, discipline in anger. But I was thinking about this, and number one, it says, be angry and sin not. And I think that's got to be a governing principle in this thing. So, and you think about Jesus Christ. You know, was he angry when he drove the money changers out of the temple? So he disciplined in anger. But we need to be careful that it's not sinful anger. And I think that's maybe a distinction. And this thought just came to me sitting here just a moment ago, so I might need to flesh it out a little bit, but I just wonder about this idea that we should never be angry when we discipline our children. I'm not sure that that's biblical.
Go ahead.
The other thing, too, is it talks a lot, there's so many scriptures that say about fearing the Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all through the Bible. And the reason, I want to make the Lord happy, but there's a lot of times where I won't say something or do something because I'm like, just because you have that fear, that respect in the Lord, will you be upset if I do that? And isn't that what you want your kids to, they don't have the grasp spiritually, maybe that adults do, whatever. That's why they have parents. So if they fear the parents, then I'm not going to do that because that gets dad upset. That gets mom upset. Isn't that kind of the same thing as what you do with the Lord sometimes? Because, we're not perfect. And a lot of times, there are things that I better not say that.
That's the whole key on it. You don't want your children to fear men. You want your children to fear God. And when you discipline in anger or something like that, there you have them fearing men, and they never will fear God because they fear man. It's always man. Let me read this verse to you. James 1, 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So be careful, about this thing with anger. You're not working the righteousness of God and having children fearing you. You want the righteousness of God, And that's why he's telling us here, be slow. He says, my beloved brethren, he points out, be swift to hear. Take it easy. Just listen. Slow to speak. Watch what's coming out. Bam, Don't be blowing up right away. Take it easy. That's what he's trying to say. Take it easy. Calm down here a little bit, And he's saying, slow to wrath. Don't let that anger start building up. How many of you have bloated already by being angry and just, bam, just came out and just really give it to your child, You've done it. All of us have done that, We've done that. He don't want us to do that, That's where you need to, if you're that angry, you need to get away from it. You gotta walk away, just like you were saying there. I don't want to. You want them to fear God. You don't want them to fear man. But there's parents out here that think anger is legit. They think it's something that's legit. It's a legitimate place in correction and discipline. Parents think that. And the reason that they can bring their children to sober fear by showing anger, they want them to have that fear, but they're fearing man. They're not going to ever fear God if they fear man. You don't want them to fear man. What a child learns is they fear man and not fear God. James makes it clear here. Human anger may teach your children to fear you, but it will not bring about biblical righteousness. Nate.
God, one of these evangelists was preaching. He was thought of on the throne. And when he did this, I thought of my father. And I wasn't saved at the time. And that's kind of was a stepping stone to lead me to Christ, because I had that fear and that reverence for my father. And then I could see how I needed it for God,
mm-hmm.
and how I had to replace him on the throne with Christ. And in some ways, they do need to be a great father.
Oh, yes. I'm not telling you, but to constantly drill it into them, you know, you can't do it. Yes, they need to know. Listen, if I go do this, I can expect this, you know. You know what I mean? You know, and I'm sure that's just the way your dad was with you too. Boys, you go out there, you do this.
Well, if mom was
get this. Yep, exactly. Yep, exactly. And God does the same thing to us. You know, there's times where He brings things in our lives, and if you sit down and realize it, He's teaching you a lesson, you know. If you do this sinful act, I'm going to react this way. You might as well say that's what He says, you know. Because, you know, His Word says, you know, that, and it's just some of the different things in Hebrews and different places like that there, He tells us, you know. Anger, like you say, you know, some of this anger, you know, it is, I think, all right a little bit. But you can't be constantly blowing up to your children. You can't be doing that constantly all the time. You got to slowly, you know, get them to that they can fear God.
There's got to be some sort of difference, though, you know, because you know, it says there, anger, wrath, malice, filthy communication, let it be put out of your mouth. You know, there in Ephesians 4, and so there's got to be a. There has to be a difference. I think that's what we're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference. And, you know, I heard preachers say, oh, well, fearing God just means you have reverential respect. No, the word fear means fear. It means scared to death. And so, and we know that He's our Father, too, with the relationship we have to Christ. And so, somehow there's a balance through all this that can be perplexing.
Well, many of us, you think of heaven and you think God's on the throne and all this and that stuff, but and you know that someday here that you're going to die, but don't you think that there's a little fear in you? What am I going to expect to see? What is there? You know, and we're going to be fearful for a little bit until you know He puts His loving arms around us. And He just shows us His mercy and grace. I'll get to you in a minute. I have another one back here. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think there's a balance. There are times I think I can discipline my child when I'm angry, but it's a controlled anger. And there are times I have to walk away because I know I can't put my hand on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are times that there's a level of anger that I know I better just walk away and not touch my child because I will do it in the wrong way. But then there are times I think I can, I'm angry, but I'm still capable of disciplining them without, you know. So it's almost like there's a level of I've got to know myself. When can I discipline and when do I just need to walk away and make them sit until I'm ready to deal with what just happened? You know, it's like we almost have to have a balance of when we can deal with that child and when we can't. And know ourselves in a way. Because I know I can lose my, you know, temper very easily. And we can't, in a way, we can't show that to our child, or we're just teaching them that it's okay to fly off the handle and be, you know, short-tempered and whatever. So it's almost like we need to learn ourselves when, you know, when we can be angry and not, in a way.
And, you know, just thinking about that a little bit, you know, there's times where I'm sure you've all been out here someplace, you know, in the public, and you see this kid just carrying on with his parents. I want that, you know, they're maybe in the toy section. I want that, you know. And then they start kicking and screaming and carrying on, throwing fits and things like that there. Where did that child get that? You know, yes, it's a sinful nature that they have into them, but, you know, probably parents flew off the handle too much and way out of line, and this child They pick it. They pick anything up. They can pick it up, and they will pick it up, and they will do it, Pastor.
I think we err if we don't distinguish between wrath and anger. And there is a connection, but I without the definition in front of me, I'm not sure if this is completely accurate. But I might suggest that wrath is. Wrath is when you're controlled by your anger. You can be angry and sin not. But when the anger is taking control and not just you still managing the anger, then it becomes wrath. I believe there's a distinction on that. And you know, like the kids that you mentioned there, I don't think those kids ever learned to fear their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we have to have that control over them that in a public place, a look is going to freeze them. And if you have never established that, control over them, so to speak, then yeah, you're going to get that situation that you described. And I think it's more the case where the parents never have exercised gaining control over those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or a snap of the fingers or something that gets their attention. Mom and dad's watching, got to tone it down because I know there's consequences to my actions.
I don't know how, I can't explain to you how to teach them that, but I did that. My kids, you know, when we were, my kids knew, when we were in church, and I could see out the corner of my eye, there was one of them goofing off, I looked over. That's all I had to do. I looked over. They knew we were going out that church if they didn't straighten up, you know. And even in public, there was goofing off, something I didn't like, all I had to do was look at them. Their mother had to look. We both had the same thing. We looked at them. And maybe it's the look that you give them. I don't know. I can't say. But, you know, it is a look. And I agree 100%, you know, that's just what it is. You know, you need to teach your children those kind of things. Did I see another hand anyplace? Okay, so, you know, anger has a place, and wrath. I wanted to know what I wanted to ask you. You know, we're going through Revelation now, you know, and you're soon done with it. But what's that wrath that God's pouring out upon this earth? You know, that is wrath, right? That's just not His anger. That's His wrath, you know. Exactly right. That's right. Yeah. God's wrath is poured out upon this earth because it's just sin, sin, sin. It keeps growing. Look at it today. It keeps growing. It keeps growing. It keeps getting bigger, bigger, bigger. I know God, He has to have patience that I could never explain to you. Has to. As long as He keeps things going here in this earth. You know, I don't understand. I mean, yeah, I have lots of questions I would love to ask Him. But, you know, when we get there to heaven, we all say that. But I'm sure that when we get to heaven there, we forget about them questions completely. You know, we won't even ever ask.
I can say my parents warned me ahead of time, and there was nothing.
Mm-hmm. Just like we have a choice to serve the Lord or not. And, you know, everybody, you know, there's no excuse for people. The Lord loves you. And look what he did for you. So I just think that sometimes, you know, I know I have to constantly remind myself that. And Nate's always like, it's a marathon. It's a marathon. You just carry out, you know, you do your best and you have to let back off because they still have a choice.
Some it clicks. Some it doesn't, you know. I'm not saying that it's all that you're going to raise the perfect kid. You're not going to raise the perfect kid, you know. But when they get older, and when we get in, maybe probably talking about the different stages of children, we get into the teen aspect. That's when we'll probably hit some of this stuff too. Go ahead, Pastor.
You brought up Moses here. There are two instances. The first is when Aaron had to go to camp. Remember what Moses did? He ground that thing out and made him drink. Now, he was wrong. And there was some serious reaction to that. But there was nothing wrong with it. But then, later on, he got angry and smote the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. And he lost his right to go into the promised land.
Is that because he sinned against God, though?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, in the one case, he was acting righteously. He was angry, but he was acting righteously. In the next case, he lost control, and that rebellion, like we talked about, I know this is wrong, but I've had it. You know?
I think the punishment is even worse because he was in front of all these people, and he was the leader,
right.
And he had all the responsibility, mm-hmm. And he did wrong.
I want to show. I'm going to. We have to quit. But I'm going to show you. I want to show you a parent in the Bible that was completely wrong on everything he did with his kids because he did nothing. But I want to show that to you. Go ahead, Miriam. I'll let you talk yet, and then we're going to.
She knows the Bible probably better than I do. And she struggles, and I keep saying, have faith so I can say. She's really struggling. She lost her job, and things are coming out. She don't interview good, but she worked a job for 21 years. Now, it came back to what a person said about the way she dressed. I'm trying to figure out what I can tell her about her clothes because I don't see nothing wrong with if you wear low neck dresses. Is that what they want? What do they want?
You can't go by this culture today, that's for sure. You don't go by the culture and what they want because if you do,
yes,
they'll drag you back. They'll drag you down so far it'll be unreal. Go ahead.
But God, you must respect authority, and there's rules and regulations you got to follow. And when that doesn't come into play, that's what we get.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, we got to stop there. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the day here now that you've given to us. We thank you for the Sunday school class. And Lord, I hope that we learned some things here, that your Spirit enlightened us and showed us some things here, Lord, on parenting. And we just ask that you would just guide and direct us throughout the rest of the day here, the next service to follow there, Lord, that the things you laid on the pastor's heart there, Father, that we would be open to it and your Spirit would teach us, help us to learn more about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.